Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Victor Kostrub, who's the CEO of Fine Designs. Victor, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey, so get us a little bit of your background of your entrepreneurial journey. I always love to hear how people get into business for themselves. You know, what was it at what point in your life did you say, I must be an entrepreneur?
Well, it started way before I even came to U.S. It was my background. I was raised in Soviet Union. And that culture alone is not about, hey, you can do this. You have so much potential. There is a goal and you can achieve that. It was all about like, this is what you have to do. So nobody pay attention to you. So there was a time it came in my development, and I'm about to make a choice whether I'm staying in one school or whether I'm going to college. And I made the decision to go to college because really I didn't know where to go. I was blind, but I knew for sure I don't want to stay here. Once I mentioned that to my father said, no, this is not the road you want to take because you will be like a cheap labor, he assumed, and he didn't want me to be like a cheap labor. And I said, no, I just sick and tired of staying in this because I just don't see a meaning. So my father gave me a lesson. At that time, like a person with authority, a person that you respect, you look up to, and he says, son, things doesn't work in life where you look where your passion is. The things, the way it work is you have to just pay attention to your responsibility and learn how to do them, accept them. And in this life, he said, nobody is go after their passion. So that was something that I couldn't stand. So I still was rebellion to that because I had a spirit in me, faith in me that no, life shouldn't work this way. Even if the system like this, life shouldn't work this way. So it was a time now I'm in college and I was a good student because as a good student, you get all of the benefits of being a good student. And then once I realize this is my future after this college, again, I lost the passion, and my teacher now repeats pretty much the same what my father said. She said, you have so much potential in you as a good student. What are you doing with your life? And I said, well, because I just don't see the meaning in this. I just don't see the future through this. And she said, same thing. In life doesn't work this way. You just have to accept the responsibility and go with that and basically force your will, in other words. And I accept that, but not for long. And month later or 2 months later, I dropped the college, even though I was a good student. And I dropped the college. And I said to myself, I don't know what is my calling. And but one thing for sure, I know this is not the direction I need to follow. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if I know this, I would have to take a step and move away from it. And that's what I did. I didn't have a plan, but what I did back then, I think God heard me. And what I think for our Heavenly Father, it's important that we truly become genuine and we accept who we are and we're not afraid to be who we are. And it's kind of from there, it's a history. So I follow my passion, even being there, I follow my passion. I start, you know, trading cars and pretty much by the age of 18, I was already driving a car by doing lotto trades. And keep in mind, in Soviet Union, my father could not afford to buy a car. It's like to have anybody who has a car that's considered to be very wealthy people back there. So, and your son is 18, already driving a car. And that's by doing those trades, the things that I was doing so passionately about. So, and then when I moved to the United States, I obviously, you know, you're new, you're across the board, your English very poor. So it's not like I had the idea, hey, I'm going to go and open the business. None of my friends, none of the other immigrants that I know that opened the business. So I go, I work for the company, and I really want to give my best to this employer. So I want to be promoted and move. But then once there was a situation where I don't want to go into the details, but pretty much I was there was like a dryer, and their products of like a silkscreen products, they were going through this dryer, and my job was to simply take them and to put into the boxes. So as I came, I basically sit down and was doing this job by sit down, and one of the general manager came, and he was just like a big boss, and he screamed at me, you have to stand up and do this job by standing. So I argue why it's not like I'm not doing as quality job. So anyway, the long story short, he allowed at first, and then after he discussed that with big boss, he came back and still made me stand. So that was a very humiliating experience. Sure. And at that time, I just had the revelation in myself, and I said, I would never work for anybody who is not respecting me. And I felt like at that time, I received a vision. What would be a culture if you built a culture with the respect, the genuine respect, not the respect that everybody says I like you, but at the same time they don't care, but the genuine respect, when you genuinely respect other people, when you genuinely care for their talents, and you really help them to release those talents as they were, where they fit the most, where they're the best at what they do, what would that be? And I kind of like fall in love with that dream. And it wasn't too long when I went into the business. So it wasn't even an idea to make money. It was an idea about the culture. It's about this culture. I was simply obsessed with that. And so as a starting process of hiring, when it started, we started hiring first people, I said, look, I would never call you to my office because you're late for 15 minutes, because like this is how I was punished when I was working for somebody. If you were late 5 minutes, they want to show you that this is who the boss. Yeah. So I said, I will not. As long as you respect me, you respect your job, and you value that, I will always respect you, and I will give you the room to grow, and I will give you your freedom. And that's, for some people, it was very unusual. But after maybe a few years, I start receiving like a gift card that normally boss would not receive, like a huge big card of thank you. And especially if the people had the terrible experience working elsewhere, and now they experience different culture, they just couldn't believe it at first. So for example, if I see somebody came to work but pretend that they are working, I would want to ask, what is going on? What is going on in your life? And one time I talked to one lady, and she said, well, look, I just came from visiting a doctor, and she said, and the doctor said, look, your old DNA, your mother, your sisters, they all have this depression of history. So you need to start taking antidepressant. And she said, well, I'm just sitting and thinking, I can't recognize my mother anymore, my sister. Should I take that or not?
Yeah.
So seeing person in this position, I would want to really take care of that first. Her physical being, her spiritual being, why would I want to force her, hey, you need to work, I don't care. So I would take care of her first, you know, say, hey, go. I want you to go for 3 days. This is the book I want you to read. This is a great book that helped me, for example. It's very positive, very motivating. And but don't worry, we'll be keep paying you. So this is kind of like the culture we created. And within time, we So we started with an office in Washington State, and then we simply grew to state after state, state after state, and probably after first 10 years, we invested so much into infrastructure system. I don't remember, you know, thinking about luxury, going to buy myself something or go experience like a great restaurant. It was all about the business and how to build it well. And I knew how you can build it well if you have a good foundation. And to me, foundation, it's translates into trust, because especially when you start and nobody knows you, you really have to build what we call today, it's a branding. But behind branding, to me, it's a meaning of trust. So I remember there was, from the beginning, I sent a crew guys to the event in Connecticut State. You know, we're in Washington, that's the Connecticut State. So the people that I hired, I had my manager who hired those people. They were local from that state. I never seen those people. So this is a young people that they come to work. What we are doing, we're selling event merchandise on site at the sporting events. So, for example, there is a gymnastic national championship. So our company goes to create the design for this event. And then on the time of the event, we would set up a booth with a large variety of sportswear, t-shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, that everything comes with this official event logo. And then we're giving them a chance to customize that with their names on the back, their prints on the sleeve, like places where they achieve. And this is a very, very great service. Yeah. And so those two guys that we sent, that they sent to, they came drunk. And with that, they start treating those people really badly, making jokes of the people in line. So, for example, the lady says, "What do you think? What should I order for my daughter, a medium or a small?" And the guy just laughing and say, "No, you need an extra large, not a medium, lady." So with that, I received a phone call from this event organizer, and she said, "I will do everything. That there is nothing left of your company." So when I received that voicemail, and we are talking about the foundation, the things that I was trying to put all of my effort into build this foundation, to me, that was like nothing left of the foundation. So, but what was important to me that now this lady assumes like the people you send, this is must be who you are. This is who, this is probably how you treat your wife and the people surrounding you. So I was just, I forgot about the business. All I want to focus on, how can I show this lady this is not who we are? And I really, really want to repent. And I really, really sorry, but how do I show that? So I called my manager and I said, "I want you to get ready. You need to go and meet up with this event organizer, Dev, because you're the one who sends those salespeople. So, but before you go," I said, "go and buy the biggest bouquet of flowers and the biggest chocolate box." So at first, he didn't want it. He said he was reluctant to go because he said it doesn't make a sense to go. This is what she said. She's not going to change her mind. But I said, you have to do. But plus, when you arrive, I want you to go on your knees and really, really beg for her forgiveness. So he does goes to buy flowers. He drives for 8 hours because that's how far he had to go to her office. And then when he arrives, she was at work, and he goes on his knees and start begging for forgiveness. Oh, wow. So the lady couldn't believe it. She just start hugging him and crying and rejoicing. So that same lady, she said, who said, "I will do everything to destroy your company." Now she said, "I will do everything to push to yes. say that everybody has to hire fine designs now, because it would show them this is not who we are. If people take care of their mistake, everybody could make mistake. But if you truly genuinely say sorry, it's going to show that. So it doesn't mean that we never made a mistake, but it just means that we truly care whether this is inside the business to create the culture or whether this is outside the business. We want to create a genuine relationship because, like, for example, the people that we are building the business with, this is, like I said, event organizer. And what I understood from the beginning, wow, they're doing such a great thing for our nation. Because if it wasn't for them, where would those kids would be? Because they organized those events. And it's not only to organize the events, but behind there is a movement, there is a youth movement, because they are challenge those children to get up from their seats, from their sofas, from their TV stations, and go and exercise, and after exercise, go to compete. And in order to compete, go to those tournaments, you really have to train really well. It's like, forget about your life now. You're not going to play games. You're not going to go and do drugs. You're not going to go and drink, because now you have different value system, and you're really, really going to work hard. And that's what they do. That's what they motivate. That's why, by putting those coaches behind and motivate those kids to train and actually help them to think the way, like putting the goals, dream about those goals, go to become true Olympians. So when I saw that, I said, wow, I really want to be in harmony with them, because their values, my values. And so that's what really inspired me to be in this business. And so I never look at this as, like, for example, some of the events that we do, they're profitable. In some of those events you go to and you lose money. For example, imagine you send people to some event in California, you have to spend so much money in preparing the goods, so much money in your salespeople, so much money in traveling, and thousands and thousands, and then boom, you have a negative. Mm-hmm. So, but I never saw this as negative, because I'm investing in the relationship. We do something much greater than at this moment, a short loss. I look at always as a long-term in investment in a relationship, because at first I do have to show those people again about emphasizing about trust. I'm not there only to take my profit away from this single event. I'm there for something much deeper, and I want to show them. And within years, those people could see that. And that's what makes the difference us and, say, the competitors. And it's a lot more than what you see outside. It's actually in roots. And that's why we became the biggest in this industry. Our company does right now over 100 events each weekend. We started with one event, and today we do over 100 events all over the United States, some of them in Europe, some of them in Australia and New Zealand. Because for one fact is those genuine relationship are inside the company, and the genuine relationship with a trust outside the company, where we build those relationship. So, in another principles that we also follow by is, again, that connects to the trust, because as you grow, we started with one event, and then one day you have from 10 events, you have 20. But it doesn't mean that I had those people line up from, saying, 20 salespeople to 50 salespeople. It's like, and you couldn't prepare within like a week so quickly. How do you do that? Well, simply you could just call and say, sorry, we're not going to be able to do that. That's what normally people do. But no, I said from the beginning, this is, we will never do this. If we made our commitment, if somebody trusts us and we gave our commitment, we're never going to say, sorry, we're not going to make it. Or, sorry, your event is too small for us. We would never say that. So whether this is going from 50 to 100, And as long as you say to yourself, as long as you believe we're going to make it, we will make it. And so there was times where you have the people in Texas, for example, but then there is a lack of people in California and they have more events than in Texas. So, but because you gave a commitment, we would have to send the people from Texas to California to cover those events and forget about profit, because by now, by sending those people flying from there, pretty much eats all of your profit by doing so. So it seems like it's not a smart decision, but it was always about the commitment, about the trust, about building the foundation. So after we build the foundation, you know, you just start growing, you start receiving more invitation. And then as you go on a bidding process, they choose you more than they choose somebody else because they see the difference. And yes, you can pretty much, it's not like we're sending people to the moon and there is hard to find how to compete with somebody who sends people to the moon, but it's easy to copy the business like us, go and sell merchandise
the way you do it.
That's the way we do it.
Yes, the trust and respect. It to me, the values you are talking about internally to the employees of the company and externally to your customers, that lays such a solid foundation for both your employees to see, and it reinforces that to them. And then also word gets around. And I want to go back to that example about the manager driving 8 hours with the flowers and crawling on his knees. Talk a little bit about how that built upon to the next time that maybe even that manager or that customer, that deepened the relationship to new customers, or it deepened the values that your employees then would solidify in working at your company once they saw that act right there?
I think this is such a great question because you're as a smart man. You pretty much you found why the culture is there. Yes, truly. You preach about the culture, but this was a great example that how we you show it, because people felt it. Because like even he tasked me, that manager, hey Victor, why would we want to do this? It's 8 hours drive. Just say send a car. Just say how sorry you are. You can give her a phone call. But they sense in my heart, this is how serious it is. I will not just send a car. We commit a sin. We commit something that's so terrible that it's not enough to send a car. So yes, internally, that's pretty much set a foundation. It was at first you preach, but now this is your character. This is truly who you are. And we know that. And the people have a choice. They either come on this bus because now they know the direction where this bus goes, and yes, or they can exit this bus and say, no, I don't share those values. I don't think this is the way I want to go, because I really don't genuinely care for the people that much. So it was the choice for people to make. So you're right. That's pretty much set the guidelines for where we're going.
You know, and I think that probably if you look back over some of these initial core values that you really expressed from an early age, realizing you wanted freedom and flexibility and respect, and that, and you now have had that be such a strong part of your DNA that you have put that into your company. Do you have employees now that have been with you for many, many years because they so much enjoy working with you?
Yes, the company is, we will be celebrating our 30th year in 2 years. So obviously we've been around for that long. And we have people who stay with us for that long, for almost 30 years. Wow. We still have people like that. But they are in the management position now. They started with being regular salesperson, but they've been promoted to be, general managers and also like licensing. So it's like a franchisees. we call it in a different states. So this they are just amazing leaders. This is the Business Fine Designs would never be as where we are if it wasn't for those people. They also follow that value system, and I believe they share the same value system because it was inside of them. I pretty much helped them to unleash that potential, but it was inside of them, and that's why they came to the right boss. However, there was people who I knew, and they knew they're not committed in Business Fine Designs, you know, for generations, or because we don't have enough management positions for people to take. So there's people who comes, you know, and do some regular office work, or just salespeople to go to those events. But they are still going to college, for example, at the same time. But I always said, I really care for you, I really do. I said, look at this. Look my business as an investment. I'm part of like another college system. I will invest in you, and you will see the fruits that will later in your life. So even though there's some people are not with me now, but I still have communication from those, whether this is Thanksgiving or Christmas, I always received a card and a thank you note, a big thank you note that says, a lot of people says, if it wasn't for me, if it wasn't for them working for Fine Designs, they would never get this job. They would never get that business. But because of that, of this DNA that we share, that the training that received, that the how we help them to think the way they are thinking now, is really they see the credit in that, and they pretty much connect that why they are there and why they are so successful now.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you took a business that is very simple to do, like screen printing and promotional items, and then you created a unique way to deliver it with strategic alliances with these events and personalizing it. But then once you got that business started, you started kind of stepping back and saying, okay, this is now going to be a training ground for the people I bring on. I'm going to inspire my employees. I'm going to inspire my clients and strategic alliances to achieve more. And I hear you describe this, and it sounds like everyone you come in contact with is coming away with a lot more than just a traditional business relationship. It's a friendship, it's a mentoring relationship, and I think that is so much further beyond just a traditional come work at my company and have a nice weekend.
I'm glad you're saying that. You're just reading my mind. It's like I'm thinking, hey, Mike, did you ever work for me? Did you? It's just like I'm just impressed. I'm just really impressed how well you do this interview. It's like you know me really, really well. Here's an example of what you just said. Many years ago, that was like about maybe 27 years ago. No, not 27. About 20 years ago, I planning to do like a training, like a seminar in the state of Ohio. And you know, when so I contact that manager in that state, and I said, why don't you get all of your employees? I will be flying to Ohio, and I will be doing some training and slash seminar, because to me, I really want to show like how much I care for those people and stuff like that. So And do train people how we take care of the customers, how we sell the things. And so I fly and I book that hotel in Ritz-Carlton, right in downtown in Cleveland. And now I book like a conference room, and all of the people come to that conference room. So this is like 7 o'clock at evening, and this is like a Wednesday night. So obviously, people were reluctant to go because now they have to go because the manager said, well, yep, the big boss come and you have to come, because he said everybody has to come. So during my presentation, after 1 hour of me speaking, there is a guy just just say, hey, I wish I knew what is this, because when I received that phone call that we all have to be here, I thought, what a waste of time. Instead of just, I had some plans with my wife for this evening. Now I have to go. I was just like, I was so reluctant. But here we came. This is such a great motivation. This is like, I would listen to this guy, he said, for days. And to me, it was like, hey, that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah,
I really want to help young people, regardless, even if they work for my company or not. And from that moment, I received that guy speaking. He spoke to my life like that this is what you have to do. This is your calling. So I start speaking to youth group, to thousands of people, because exactly what I struggle, I see many, many people struggle. They don't have this flexibility. They don't have faith in them, and nobody helps them. But truly, if you help them to unleash that potential, if you show them this is how life should be, they will be just so grateful.
You know, you said a few minutes ago that at some point in your life when you were younger, God was listening to me and opened up this door and you moved in this direction. Well, I have a feeling that there are hundreds and hundreds of people that said, God was listening to me and Victor walked into my life and has transformed me from, you know, seeing things so small and maybe giving them the economic opportunity to work for your company. Or like you just said, maybe not. Maybe it's just the right word spoken at the right time to encourage and motivate people. So that's a powerful calling that you have in your life.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To me, that's the best compliment. That's the best compliment I can receive.
Well, you are just brimming with energy and passion. And so let's wrap up this, Victor. And if someone is listening to this thinking, I need to learn more about Victor and Fine Designs, what's the best way they can reach out and learn more and connect with you?
Well, they could listen to the podcast that I started not too long ago. It's Mentors by Design, and with Mission Matters. They could visit missionmatters.com and find out more about this great organization as well. Please visit company Fine Designs, our company, finedesigns.com, and you can find out where we're located and about all of the events that we do and stuff like that. So that's where I would start.
Excellent. Well, Victor, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.